Why was it so easy? Because his scar had been burning for hours, yearning to show him Voldemort's thoughts. He closed his eyes on her command, and at once the screams and the bangs and all the discordant sounds of the battle were drowned until they became distant, as though he stood far, far away from them. He was standing in the middle of a desolate but strangely familiar room, with peeling paper on the walls and all the windows boarded except for one. The sounds of the assault on the castle were muffled and distant. The single unblocked window revealed distant bursts of light where the castle stood, but inside the room it was dark except for a solitary oil lamp. He was rolling his wand between his fingers, watching it, his thoughts on the room in the castle, the secret room only he had ever found, the room, like the chamber, that you had to be clever and cunning and inquisitive to discover. He was confident that the boy would not find the diadem, although Dumbledore's puppet had come much farther than he had ever expected. Too far. "My lord," said a voice, desperate and cracked. He turned. There was Lucius Malfoy, sitting in the darkest corner, ragged, and still bearing the marks of the punishment he had received after the boy's last escape. One of his eyes remained closed and puffy.
"My lord, please, my son."
"If your son is dead, Lucius, it is not my fault. He did not come and join me like the rest of the Slytherins. Perhaps he has decided to befriend Harry Potter."
"No, never,"
whispered Malfoy.
"You must hope not."
Aren't you afraid, my lord, that Potter might die at another hand but yours?" asked Malfoy, his voice shaking. "Wouldn't it be, forgive me, more prudent to call off this battle, enter the castle and seek him yourself?
"Do not pretend, Lucius. You wish the battle to cease so that you can discover what has happened to your son. And I do not need to seek Potter. Before the night is out, Potter will have come to find me."
Voldemort dropped his gaze once more to the wand in his fingers. It troubled him, and those things that troubled Lord Voldemort needed to be rearranged.
"Go and fetch Snape."
"Snape, my lord?"
"Snape. Now. I need him. There is a service I require from him. Go."
Frightened, stumbling a little through the gloom, Lucius left the room. Voldemort continued to stand there, twirling the wand between his fingers, staring at it.
"It is the only way, Nagini,"
he whispered, and he looked around. And there was the great thick snake, now suspended in midair, twisting gracefully within the enchanted, protected space he had made for her, a starry, transparent sphere somewhere between glittering cage and tank. With a gasp, Harry pulled back and opened his eyes. At the same moment, his ears were assaulted with the screeches and cries, the smashes and bangs of battle. "He's in the Shrieking Shack. The snake's with him. It's got some sort of magical protection around it. He's just sent Lucius Malfoy to find Snape."
"Voldemort's sitting in the Shrieking Shack," said Hermione, outraged. He's not even fighting."
"He doesn't think he needs to fight," said Harry. "He thinks I'm going to go to him."
"But why?"
"He knows I'm after Horcruxes. He's keeping Nagini close beside him. Obviously, I'm going to have to go to him to get near the thing."
"Right,"
said Ron, squaring his shoulders.
"So, you can't go. That's what he wants, what he's expecting. You stay here and look after Hermione, and I'll go and get it."
Harry cut across Ron. "You two stay here. I'll go under the cloak, and I'll be back as soon as I..."
"No," said Hermione. "It makes much more sense if I take the cloak and..."
"Don't even think about it," Ron snarled at her.